Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Around the NFL podcast. The season doesn't really start until after Thanksgiving.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. Dan Hansis, Mark Sessler. And yes, we've been saying that forever because Mike Francesa said it forever, who's told that nugget from Bill Parcells, one of the great geniuses of the sports history. And you want to say, oh, that's ridiculous. That's some drive time BS. But it's true. On some level, it's absolutely true. You could look at any season and then look at everything that happens from September 1st to November 25th or whatever, and then look at everything that happens from that point onward. It kind of is two different seasons in many cases, and the second part matters much more than the first.
There's no way to argue against that. It's entirely true in so many ways. I'm not sure if you're a member of the Houston Texans that you're walking around with banners saying, our season starts now.
You can eliminate yourself.
There's more meaning for some teams than others on this front, but it's
right.
Trenchant.
I think it goes without saying that it's about the teams that are trying to hoist the trophy.
Right. And when it goes without saying, I'll waste time by saying it. So
I enjoyed a little stat I saw that the teams that have won the Super Bowl in the last 4 years have a losing record in November. This actually time of year. No, I'm saying Thanksgiving is after, essentially.
Right. Yes.
This time of year often is when teams that end up being very good go through a little dip, and then they pop up when it
Here's
matters.
The difference. Here's the difference, because now you're going to say, oh, yeah, because people say that about the NBA, too, which, by the way, two different sports.
Very different.
Established by a top 10 insider long ago.
Football is completely different than basketball.
In the summer.
There's no reason why anyone should ever watch a basketball game before New Year's Day.
I totally disagree. As a baseball fan, though, wouldn't that offend you when people make fun of you watching between April and June?
Because most of the guys in the NBA aren't even trying.
I totally
disagree.
And people
are not playing.
Now that I'm all in, the effort's high. And it's very predictive. Like, teams that are good in the regular season in the NBA actually win the title all the time.
Rest days,
Greg is going to obviously disagree with your comment, but I would suggest and say, and I'm not as plugged in as Greg on the NBA, that I'll wait till the playoffs start.
Yes.
I mean, the casual fan just waits till the playoffs
start. But the point of sports is you just enjoy watching it. So it's the same reason you're watching that April Yankees game. Doesn't matter. It's because it's fun to watch.
We're getting in the weeds here. But it's not just my opinion that the NBA isn't a fully formed product for the first few months of the year. That's all I'm saying.
I think it's a fair critique of the league. I mean, you can still say if you enjoy the sport, Greg, I get
but
that.
But the games themselves, there's no question that the effort level and who's on the field – That's they're all in from April on.
You don't have pitchers just taking 25 days off because it's March or April, especially March maybe.
Never in the beginning of the show have we known that Drew is going to be hacking things out of the network program.
Yeah,
we've come to that place.
The season starts at Thanksgiving and the network show starts now.
Exactly. So, reset. Yes, it is the Week 12 preview show. If you are a couple things to be aware of. One, go check out our social media because we're doing a live show in Los Angeles on January Gravedigger
18th.
January 18th at the Bourbon Room. Get your tickets. They are still available. Second of all, we previewed all of the Thanksgiving games on our Tuesday show. So if you want to hear about that, go check out that podcast. And now we get to all the Sunday games and a Monday night game. No bye weeks for the first time in a while. Much to get to. So let's get into it. And I didn't mean anything personal there about the NBA stuff.
No, I just I really disagree because I didn't used to be that into the early portion of the season either. And there is some of the load management. Not a ton. I disagree.
Load
I just
management.
Disagree. I think they're out there. They're out there.
I like at least how the two of you worked through that very intense, potentially intense scenario.
Yes.
There.
We actually, Greg and I, there's some load management with Mark early in the season that we tend to work into the show because we know it gets heavier as the year
what
goes
is
along.
That, what does that mean?
Just some load management.
The I eyes. Don't understand what you're even talking
the
about.
The eyes when you started that from Mark were
well, before the show,
glass.
We were on each other all about some a different issue, which we can't talk about on this show either. So, you know, come in, act like you're smiling when the camera clicks on.
Whoa,
it. And then you gotta,
I don't even know what
yeah,
this
what are
is
you talking about?
We had a minor disagreement, the three of us, before the show started.
I thought it wasn't a disagreement. I thought it was...
From your angle.
Right. I thought it was fine.
I don't know if Greg and I see it that way or not.
I'm Switzerland over here.
All right, let's start again.
Greg.
This is the Thanksgiving preview. Let's get into the games on
not
Sunday.
Not the Thanksgiving preview.
Well, this is the Thanksgiving week preview. Okay, let's try it again. Yeah. This is the post-Thanksgiving preview of week 12. Let's get to it, starting with the primetime game on Sunday night. I wish it was better, but it's not bad. The Green Bay Packers, 4-7, travel to Philadelphia to meet the Eagles, 9-1. The Eagles not playing quite as well in the last couple of weeks, so you could look at this team even at home. I mean, they lost at home already this year. That's their only loss of the year against Washington in primetime 2 weeks ago. This game would have a lot more juice, Mark, if the Packers had kept their momentum going against Tennessee in their last primetime game. Why are all the teams... Same teams playing primetime.
Yes.
All the time. Anyway, but they didn't. So now it's basically, if you want to sell this one, this is a playoff game for the Packers, and it's against a potential number one seed come January. Win or die for the Packers at 4-7.
At some point, I'm gonna stop agreeing that it's a playoff game for the Packers, but we're here for one more week, no doubt about it. I thought that the hype and the hope that came out of winning the game against the Cowboys was utterly rendered a mirage, a total mirage against the Titans on Thursday night.
Totally.
And no more massages there.
No
Mike
more
McCarthy
massages
would get those during
would,
the meetings.
We're not doing that either.
He refuted that.
We're not doing that either. I know that the Colts game presented some issues for the Eagles on offense early on. They struggled on third down. We talked about it last Sunday night. There were a couple little un-Eagles-like errors, Kelce snapping the ball wayward over Jalen Hurts. But I also thought that Jalen Hurts played an incredible fourth quarter. Just kind of put the team on his back, especially on the ground. I trust him to do it. I think there's an issue where, like, with Dallas Goedert, who was their third leading receiver and a big part of that offense, there isn't really a replacement for him.
No.
And I think that caused – I think they're working their way through that. But the difference between the Eagles and a team that goes into slumpville for weeks after weeks is they found a way out of that situation last week. I mean, they just still need to figure out how to find that tight end support, that third guy.
It's like a right turn out of slumpville.
They didn't even drive into it, thankfully.
Right, thankfully.
It was kind of like one of those city loops. You go around slumpville.
A roundabout.
Yes. So I kind of just trust them week to week. I think they're really well coached. You can run on Green Bay. I think it's a good situation for them. And, they can still win when A.J. Brown doesn't show up the way that with other teams that would just capsize the offense.
He's been quiet for a few weeks. I think they'll want to get him more involved. I think this will be a close enough game because both running games should be confident going into it. And the Eagles are a great team, but they kind of invite close games. There was that one against the Cardinals. Obviously, the last 2 weeks have been their worst two offensive weeks of the season. They have had some blowouts, but I think a team that likes to run the ball and slows down the game, and you got to do that against Green Bay because they don't have a run defense whatsoever. But the Eagles don't have a great run defense either. I don't think it's solved just because you got Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh. We'll see how they are in week two. I just don't see the Packers as this terrible team. They're 4-7, But there's not much difference between them and a lot of 6-5 teams. They still have a quarterback who I think is playing well enough. Aaron Rodgers, there's so much doom and gloom in Green Bay because they're not used to being mediocre. This is what a mediocre team looks like. They're average. I think they're a little better, actually, than their record indicates at 4-7.
I agree. I think they are better than average. They're having a bad year. They're losing close games. And I thought the Tennessee Titans game was kind of a perfect in miniature look at their season, where I thought Rodgers, when they needed him to hit big throws, could not hit them, and you're just scratching your head because everything else looks like Aaron Rodgers. The previous week, he looked like Aaron Rodgers.
And the first 2.5 quarters of that game, I thought he played great.
Yes, and then when it was money time, when they really needed him to step up and lead him down the field, he kept on failing. But the defense was getting stops at the end of that Tennessee game before that last bomb to Burks. And if you look at the Eagles here, they played really bad. I thought against the Colts, which is not a good team. They had no business winning that game, in my opinion. And the Colts had first and goal at Philadelphia's 5-yard line with 5:44 to play in that game. And then the play calling got wonky, in my opinion. And that opened the door. And you give the Eagles credit for taking advantage of that and winning that game. But that's two straight weeks where they have not looked good.
Hmm.
I think the Packers have a really good chance to win this game. In fact, I
think
that they will.
Is he going
to
do it?
No.
That would be
wild. I don't
think
they're winning this game.
I got the Packers in an upset on Sunday night.
I think one thing is, like, the Eagles have been ran on, but Linval Joseph and Sue, I don't know if it's because of them entirely, but they did help because outside of that first touchdown drive by the Colts where Jonathan Taylor went off for, like, 49 yards, he was shut down, and they caused a fumble later in the game. The Colts did not control that game the way they did the week before. They have the third-best run defense DVOA of Philadelphia right now. So I think it is against the pass. So I think with Aaron Rodgers, it's not going to be a simple game for him, and you're going to need like someone to step up in that part of for Green Bay.
Right. They got to bench Sammy Watkins. He's killing them. I mean, some of the bad Rodgers throws are like that he quiet quits on a route, you know, like that throw where people kind of blame Rodgers at the end of that game that was to Watkins. It was like Sammy Watkins essentially gave up on that
route. It was a bad route.
Pretty much like stopped playing. But their pass defense is tough to go against, the Packers, that is. And so I'm curious to see Hurts in this game. I think he's showing development. To your point, the Colts are a really good defense. And that touchdown that he threw to make it to get to 10 points late in that game was from the pocket, get into a second or third read. The play where they got the pass interference penalty on the final drive was him really staying patient in the pocket and getting to like his fifth read essentially and just making a play, but he wasn't trying to just win the game with his legs. And then a little later, he did. So I think he's more patient right now. Rodgers, when he gets down, tries to play a little hero ball, just tries to go for the big play instead of moving it down the field. Hopefully Romeo Dobbs returns in this game. Have a little Dobbs-Watson rookie combo there. Something.
I think we're going to see the good Rodgers again, but at the same time, geez, he's been a tough guy to figure
out
this year.
They're still entertaining. I'm not at the point where I'm mad that they're in primetime. To me, this is a good game.
I think it's stunning how much more you two enjoy this Packers team than I do. I don't really have this belief.
Enjoy is not the word.
I think they'll cover,
though,
too. I'm with Dan that they'll keep it close.
I saw Rodgers totally melt at the end of that Titans game.
I think that the Packers, despite their poor record, are not a bad team. They're just having a bad year.
I think the record is what they are.
Hmm. Well, I guess we're going to find out on Sunday Night Football. Sell it, baby. Monday Night Football now. The Pittsburgh Steelers. Listen, I get it. I get the schedule makers on this one. You thought the Steelers are the Steelers.
And tougher one to sell.
Yeah, they've never been sub 500 under Mike Tomlin. They had a rookie quarterback you could kind of talk yourself into, or maybe Mitch Trubisky. No, it didn't work out that way. They're 3-7, last place in the North. And then you have the Colts, who we just talked about, blew that game against the Eagles in their building. And now they are, again, hosting. So, I mean, what gets you excited about this game, Mark?
Well, for me, with the Colts, to see if they can continue to play better. I thought you just said it. They put the clamps on the Eagles for a big chunk of that game, which is impressive. I mean, 3 weeks ago we were selling the Colts down the river, and I want to see if I am interested in always watching Kenny Pickett to see his development. It is interesting to me that Jermaine Pratt, the Bengals linebacker, came out of that Bengals Steelers tilt on Sunday saying They basically just ran the same play over and over. They telegraphed what they're doing, and we could see what they were doing before. Now, that's a complaint that Bill Belichick noted about the Patriots offense a couple weeks back. And so this stuff happens, I get it. But it's not a great look for an offense that's been so simplified. And really, to me, Kenny Pickett is such a hot and cold act that I don't see why a really good Colts defense can't come out of here with a win. I think the Colts are a better overall team right now.
I struggled to pick this game on the website. I did end up taking the Steelers. Maybe that's wishful thinking. We're going to be trying to sell this game in a big Monday Night Football recap next week. This
you
is
are.
Like the first
Dan and
first
I will
one
not
between
be
losing teams. Phoebe Schechter is going to join
I'll be
me
on the couch.
I'm excited for that.
That's she, nice. She like Phoebe.
She's great
over there in Scotland.
Okay,
you said you're sick of the same teams in primetime.
Surrey.
No, Connecticut.
I can't keep track.
I have multiple hometowns. She grew up in my hometown, so I have a connection to her.
Okay,
right?
I like that.
Welcome to the Week 12.
We haven't seen these teams in primetime much. I mean, we saw the Colts that one time against Denver, which was one of the worst games of the season. I would say my choice as the worst. The Steelers haven't been in primetime. So I am kind of fun to see them in that spot because the running backs in this game are playing better lately.
I am kind of fun to see them in
that
spot.
I can't speak. I'm kind of looking forward to it. I don't mind it because both of these offenses are playing better than they were a few weeks ago at least. Pickett's played his best two games since the bye. Najee Harris seemed like he needed that week off and now is playing better. Jonathan Taylor looks a little healthier. George Pickens becoming a little more consistently a thing and Paris Campbell becoming a little more consistently a thing. So I want to think this is at least going to be like a 21-20 game, and there's a lot of like insider Jeff Saturday because he worked at ESPN footage that we can kind of laugh at and have fun with.
Okay, well, that does less for me.
Can I sell the Steelers for you?
Yes, please.
With one nugget. The 24-yard touchdown from Pickett to Pickens last week was their first touchdown of over 10 yards on the entire season. So maybe they're breaking
they
through.
They had two last week.
They had a run and a pass.
Down. Those are the two longest plays for scores in their whole season, which gives you an idea of what's going on here. But
Matt Canada, genius.
But you know what? They have a rookie quarterback who's a project, and they're going through the ups and downs.
They put up 30 last week. I don't think that can be totally ignored.
You know, I think
their best half of offense all season was the first half against
them. They're not unwatchable. They're not unwatchable. They're a team that's developing, and I can see them even finishing strong with the coach that they have there. And on the Colts side, with their offense, there were a little Denver Broncos vibes there because they go 75 yards down the field on the opening drive, and Jonathan Taylor looks awesome again. They averaged 20.9 yards per drive and scored 3 field goals the rest of the way. So it's just like their offense is still bad. And Matt Ryan's still old.
Well, that's what I meant about the Eagles' defense really winning that game for them last week. Because what the Colts can do, it's pretty limited, and they took it away.
It's an easier matchup. But it is Matt Ryan indoors. I trust him a lot indoors because those balls do take a little while to get there in general. But it seems a little
more than I trust you indoors.
It's or what does that even mean?
He's untrustable.
Very Randy. Yeah. Indoors.
Yeah.
Let's move to the draft. And starting the draft for Around the NFL is none other than the legend himself.
Sizzler.
Sizzler. Edward. Sizzler.
Yeah. Oh, is he going to blow it?
This guy gets it.
His franchise has been struggling. Can he turn it around with the one pick?
I think that you're overselling that whole product a little bit much. I mean, there's only one place to go.
Mark is so filled with pride right now after the intro.
I really appreciate that from both of you. I mean, I'm looking up and down the lineup. There's only one option. You'd have to be a mental patient not to pick Bengals at Titans.
Agree.
I mean, we got a really nice Thanksgiving slate. So there's a couple winning team versus winning team here. This is the only like positive record game on the entire weekend slate, which is concerning. That's not what you're hoping for. But this is a classic to me because right now you've got – it is in this season, in this weird season, because the Bengals quietly have the third-ranked scoring offense. And I think we're like, when are the Bengals going to actually become a little bit more like they were last year? Well, I think they're getting there. They're like without Ja'Marr Chase and without Joe Mixon, they still put up 37 points against Pittsburgh last week. And then you have the Titans, to me, where Mike Vrabel has found a way, especially
your
coming
team.
Off of – that is my new – like Gravedigger, we're going to bring him in a second here. Like Gravedigger and I have a partnership on the Titans. Because
very
I
brave to get on the Titans as they've won, you know, 7 of 8 games.
Well, I called it – I asked if I was allowed on the bandwagon. Yeah. I didn't sell it as something noble or like from the middle of the – like, the, you know, some other age or something. I just want to see if they can do, like, week after week, they are nullifying offenses. They have essentially not, they have not lost since week two, except for that one little three-point loss to the Chiefs. They haven't allowed 20 points since week three. I'm just saying. I'm
not trying to take the air out of the balloon, but.
The Titans are ignored no matter what they do. We know that.
Not on this show anymore.
Not on the show, but in general.
Not with old behind the glassy.
Mike Vrabel, to me, is ignored as a coach. He's the better coach in this game by a lot. And he's put the clamps on so many offenses. What can he do against the Bengals?
I think it makes sense that Gravedigger was a great nickname, but going forward, behind the glassy seems like. Much more clever and should be the name going forward.
I'm fascinated by this game too. It is I don't know about a classic, but it is by far the game I want to watch the most this week.
I think it's a classic, like, in this little
within
season.
Within the prism of week 12 of the 2022 season.
Not of the NFL, like, milieu
entirely. Legendary is what it
is. Yeah. We'll take it this week.
It's going to be telling too, because I expect both these teams to make it to the playoffs. Mm. It's a rematch of ships passing in the night, you know, sliding doors situation in the last season. Who knows what would have happened if the Bengals didn't get out of there. And more important than that, there are two teams that I feel a lot better about right now than I did 2 months ago. I mean, remember the Bengals start 0-2. The Titans now with Treylon Burks returning like someone who can contribute, and Bobby Trees, Robert Woods out there looking like he's got a little more
finally
juice.
Moving the chains, Gravedigger.
And Ryan Tannehill throwing dimes with his best game of the season in Green Bay against a good pass defense. Okay, now you're showing me you can be more of a complete team. We know what their defense can do, and that is just confuse opponents and hold them under 20 better than just about any team, no matter who's out on the field. They're tough. I can't pick against the Titans at this point.
Yeah, Gravedigger, jump on a second, because I think we've banned it on the show, or at least on that side of the table. I think I'm still clear. I think the Titans are starting to get their flowers, and I think it's because happened.
You can't say that. This is the whole show. I thought
it was on that side of the table.
I was more asking why it's been, and it's not just a Greg thing. It's showing up on Twitter all over the place.
It was too much.
It's showing up everywhere all of a sudden over like a 3 week period.
Yeah.
And it's like we've reached a tipping point.
It's become a crutch in society.
It has lost its whatever sort of magnetism it has is gone.
The scent of the flowers is dissipated. Justin, I do think on some level, for people that are following the game and the sport, I thought the Packers game and the performance by Tannehill, unfortunate what happened to Todd Downing after the game, but the call, the fact that they did it without Henry, I think a lot of people were like, man, you know what? Vrabel's great. The Titans are really good. It's good that they're in the mix in the AFC because they keep things fresh and are going to keep teams on their toes. I think the Titans are getting love right now. I think the Titans are viewed, and they should be viewed, as a real contender. I agree. I find it very difficult to pick against them right now.
Me too. I wish I had locked them up last week instead of going with the terrible Vikings that I chose.
Ooh, but Mr. Vine, the glassy, dropped in a big spot.
Here's a stat for you. Mike Vrabel.
We got to get him in the makeup chair before the shows.
I know, right? I need to shave, too.
I think his skin looks great.
Clean it up.
Looks great.
Mike Vrabel, coming off extended rest, a.k.a. following a bye or a Thursday night
Look,
game.
Look, he built out a board, a video board.
9-0 record, averaging 28.4 points per game, allowing 10.7 points per game, with an average margin of victory of 17.7 points.
Woo-wee!
This was not a John Madden make up the stats. I researched
this. No, it's
this
like
one.
A mini Andy Reid scenario
did
here.
Did you, and this is for people that are watching this on NFL Network, did you build out a full video screen board for every single game, or was it just your team?
No, this was, I sent these numbers over to Drew, and he decided that they were worthy of a board.
That is it is notable.
It's a great board.
And
good job.
I think Mark said it. The coaching advantage is clearly on their side. We don't know if Ja'Marr Chase is going to play. They could be getting him back, which is a...
Burrow said he expects him to play.
Wasn't he at crutches last week?
Right.
Yes.
Burrow said that. You know, sometimes the players are a little more optimistic than the team. We'll see if Joe Mixon plays, but you're right to put up that many points without those two guys last week. Their offense is starting to hum. You have the game where Mixon dominates on the ground against Carolina, who's a good run defense, and then you dominate an average Steelers.
Finally.
What?
Because you were kind of bagging on the Bengals throughout the season, and you've come around. This has always come around
because I still have major doubts about the defense and right now.
But we're talking about the offense specifically. Okay. You were all over them.
They have to show it.
They also need this game. Their schedule after the Tennessee tilt is Kansas City, New England, Buffalo, Baltimore, Tampa Bay, and one or two other.
That's the hardest schedule in the league.
Exactly.
Maybe.
So it's like there are no breaks for the defending AFC title.
We will take a break right now.
Sure.
And then we'll get back.
Well, we didn't go to the Super Bowl.
Back to the Week 12 preview. We'll be right back.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah, it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar!
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Let's see. Let's get to the second pick. It is the property of Tugboat. And, you know, I want to – obviously, it would have been a home run. Oh, yeah, Rams at Chiefs. But the Rams ruined that. And
that's,
the schedule
that's
makers,
what everyone was expecting. That was supposed to be a big national game.
That was supposed to be the game of the year.
Did they ever.
And instead – it is not my pick. And so I will go with the game that's most interesting to me, which is the Bears at the Jets. Greggy, I was just giving it to you a little bit on being slow on Cincinnati's offense, which you push back on, and that's fine. Now I'm going to give you some, not flowers. I'm going to give you something else.
Credit.
A trophy.
Credit.
Yes, credit. Because you did properly forecast the Jets quarterback situation, because Robert Saleh announced in his press conference on Wednesday morning that, yes, Zach Wilson is benched. Not even just benched, he's inactive for this game against the Bears, and it will be Mike White who draws the start. And I have some thoughts on this, but let's hear from Robert Saleh on the decision.
So the big thing I want to make sure I address on this one, just want to make sure you guys all listen to this very carefully, please. Zach's career here is not over. I know that's going to be the narrative. I know that that's what everybody wants to shout out, and that's not even close to the case. The intent, the full intent, is to make sure Zach gets back on the football field at some point this year.
Hmm. Which is interesting.
Maybe. Maybe.
But that's kind of hollow, because if Mike White plays really well, they're not taking that guy out of the lineup. I don't think that happens, but I thought – so the ATN Media Insider, obviously, when this news comes down, I got texts out all over to people that know things.
Mm-hmm.
And the general gist I'm getting is that it could not be ignored what was happening in that locker room. And that's the one thing I didn't take into account when I thought when they would give
hands.
So don't
for the truth, go to the Zeus.
Get in,
Zeuser in the morning.
That's absurd.
That when the Jets wide receivers and the skill players have hit a tipping point, a breaking point, And Salah had almost was had to make this move to save the locker room relationship. And that was my first take, Greg, that this has to be way worse behind the scenes than is even being reported. And we've heard some trickles out there that the way Wilson was carrying himself, even behind the scenes, was rubbing certain players the wrong way. Obviously said the wrong things in the press conference. But it put the Jets in the position, and Salah in the position, to take a number two overall pick from last year and now put him on the bench. Extraordinary things had to be happening behind the scenes, and that was what I thought.
I agree, because they're the ones watching the tape every week. I mean, they're in it more.
And practicing every week.
They know how bad he is. And I just think it's gotten a little spun that, like, well, he's a second-year player, and, well, this or that. It's like you're trying to win games. And I think Robert Salah views this a little more as a defensive coach and maybe a former defensive player than if you were an offensive coach. And you're trying to win games. And I think the way he positioned it there, I was glad he did it that way. That this isn't the end of his career. It was interesting that he said the hope, the plan, the intent is to even get him back this year. I kind of expect that myself, even when he made this, that he's viewing it like we're going to sit him down, that quarterbacks shouldn't be so fragile and so much different than every other position that you can't rotate them a little about sit him down. Obviously, it is different than other positions, and you have to handle it differently publicly, and they're the most important player, and then they're the only one that touches the ball. But this doesn't mean that his season's over or his career is over. But he's not allowing them to win, and they're no dummies. He's playing terrible, and it's not that one game against the Patriots. It's all the games. It's the games that they won and that he contributed a tiny little bit to helping them win. And it's looking at the stats the last couple of years when Mike White and Joe Flacco were running the same offenses and they were actually including all these other great players that are on the team. Corey Davis, now he's hurt, but he was there. And Elijah Moore. And now you want to see Garrett Wilson like you did early in the year. Like, let's include them in the game plan, and we can do that with Mike White.
It's a huge move. And I really love it by Robert Saleh, because it shows me, no matter where he was on this 4 days ago when it's or a week ago when it was like, this is not, we're not making a change, you listen to your locker room, because this came around team meetings, and they were asked, Saleh was asked, did Zach Wilson lose the locker room? And his quote I found to be pretty telling. He said, maybe there's a little irritation at the moment, .. but I don't think there's hate.
Right, which is a very strong word to even bring up there.
Right.
But I thought that was also kind of telling, not telling on the team, but the amount of frustration behind the scenes
right.
is that he feels they don't hate him, they just really don't like him the way he's
they
playing.
They believe that they can go win a title this year.
Right, but that's the football part, and I get it.
Right.
But I think the other thing is, like, you don't, this is a first round pick. That this does, like,
the number two overall.
I think there
pick.
Is a question. I'm not trying to, like, create a hot take here, but these things can spiral to a certain place where they've got to figure out who they are after this special season going forward. We may not, I'm not so sure we see Zach Wilson again as a Jets starter.
I think all I that depends on how these backups play. And who knows, does Flacco get a shot if White doesn't play the guitar? I think you hit on it a little bit yesterday, Mark, that the Jets developed faster than anyone expected.
Yeah,
which
is a good thing.
Yes, which has played into why this happened at all. Because if the Jets were still bad like last year, it probably wouldn't have been a big story. The one thing I will push back against, Greg, that you said, it's not just the Patriots loss, but I think both Patriots losses in 3 weeks, what that means for the organization, the fans, the players getting embarrassed by the way things played out on Sunday and how that game ended. I think whether it should be or not, I think that played a bigger part than just his season-long struggles. It was flopping against that team.
It's fair.
That matters
to the Jets.
I think
that created a quickening. That was a quickening.
Right,
here, because
when I heard Garrett Wilson say, you know, losing the teams we should be beating, I was like, oh, man, you're talking about the Patriots and Foxborough. But that's how they felt. And even thinking back to Zach Wilson immediately after that first loss, being like, well, we'll see him again in 2 weeks. I think the Jets, to Robert Saleh's credit, are a supremely confident team who thinks they're really good for a good reason. And that's helped them be this good. And so losing to that Patriots team in the way that they did, yeah.
Pretty crazy. And on the Bears side of it, as we get into this game, Justin Fields was cleared to practice on Wednesday. So, you know, he was described as day-to-day by Eberflus on Monday. The fact that he's cleared to practice as this tapes, I don't know, we don't know yet, but let's assume he does practice today. That does most likely, barring a setback, put him on track to play against the Jets, who, as we talked about, have a very good pass rush and will get after a quarterback and Justin Fields will take a beating every once in a while behind that offensive line. So that's something to track. But I as a fan, I want to see Justin Fields on the field. It will make it a interesting game.
As a Jets fan, though, if Trevor Siemian plays in this game, it's like lock central. Whereas if Justin Fields plays and he's moving around well enough, they have a chance. I think the Jets' run defense is good, but I'd still rather try to run on them in general, certainly when Justin Fields is your quarterback. And they run block well for in Chicago, and I think I'd give them a chance with Justin Fields. Otherwise, it's tough because the other side of this Mike White move is – the schedule for the Jets in terms of the defenses they're facing could not be easier. And the Bears' defense, since they traded Roquan Smith, is dead last in the league in DVOA and EPA. They're a terrible defense. And this starts a run of games where you would think Mike White can have some success.
You just
success.
Need vaguely competent quarterback play to sidecar this Jets defense, and you could be on a roll. I mean, Jets defense could make life tough for if Fields is in there or not. 5+ sacks in 3 straight games. That's the longest streak of that in Jets history. We've been talking about Jets pass rush and needing this or that for a long time. It's coming from different parts of their defensive line. They are totally well coached and formidable. It's the biggest challenge that Justin Fields, if he plays, will face.
Sal has done a great job overall, and Justin Fields, how much has he meant to this offense? He leads the NFL with 15 offensive touchdowns since week 7. So they need him on the field. The next pick goes to Greg Rosenthal.
All right. I'm going to take the Ravens and the Jaguars, two teams I haven't got to watch enough this season and that I enjoy, and I think this game is going to be closer than people expect. Actually, the Ravens aren't even favored by that much because the Jaguars managed
to... What is a sharp saying?
It's a 4-point. It's a 4-point spread here. And the Ravens have looked great on defense the last few weeks. And that's why I'm really intrigued by this game, because Trevor Lawrence has played his best two games in a row the last couple weeks before the bye of his career. Really good decision making, threw the ball accurately, and now he plays a defense which is creeping up on the conversation, I think, as the best defense in the league. Because you look at all the different levels, and you think back to September when they were giving up all those big plays. That is not this team anymore. They're healthier. I think Roquan Smith has unlocked Patrick Queen. Queen's been a really strange player for the Ravens, where he's incredibly boom or bust, and I kind of thought their defense goes as Patrick Queen goes, and now he's not asked to make the calls. He's just kind of over there at the weak side, asked to just make big plays, and he's been on fire the last couple of games. Roquan Smith is obviously very good, can be good in coverage against some of the Travis Etienne and what they like to do with their running backs in the passing game. I think that matchup, Jaguars on offense, Ravens on defense, Calais Campbell, our guys playing great, like their secondary is very deep. They had all those injuries, but most of those guys have come back. I think they really could end up carrying this team along with Lamar to a great stretch run because they have a very easy schedule. The Bengals are the only team that the Ravens play the rest of the year that have a winning record.
It sets up well. I mean, to your point, Patrick Queen has his two best grades of the season since Roquan Smith hit the scene. Last week, I think what you saw from in a tight, weird game against the Panthers where they needed someone to step up, the play of Marcus Peters and the play of Marlon Humphrey just showed you that this defense, when you're getting that linebacker play and you're getting up front, it kind of just sets the whole situation up to succeed. And I think the Ravens right now, when they're good on offense, can completely beguile an opponent. We saw that against the Saints. The Jaguars, to me, do not... I like what we've seen. We've been asking for this from Trevor Lawrence, and he got the number 2 and number 3 PFF scores of any quarterback in the league his last two games. Ooh. To your point about it, finally showing us that he can do this without the wacky overthrows, the off-target passes. He's diminishing some of that. He's making plays. Travis Etienne is averaging 102 yards per game, so it does present some challenges for the Ravens, but I am very confident that Baltimore will take this. Extremely confident.
At what
high,
level?
High, extreme top levels of confidence where I'm taking out my key and sticking it in the lock, and I'm locking it up, baby.
Oh, Dan's going to do it too now. I can just feel it in the
air. Well, we've had great success when we've done that together.
I will take that key.
All right.
And I'll thank you.
Sure.
And I'll drive to the ocean. And I will throw that key into the Pacific.
That's where you
put it. Oh!
Because it will never be opened. Because I, too, will lock up the Ravens.
Yeah, you got it.
This is a really good setup, I think, for Baltimore.
But yours isn't locked yet because you threw it in the ocean. It's still wide open.
The reason why is because I don't even use the lock to lock a padlock. I just click it.
Okay. I think we have the same lock.
You chose to use the key, which you could do it that way too.
Actually, that's not how you do
not
it.
Not really,
but what
I did, I took the key. We don't need to worry about opening this.
Right.
So I just threw it.
All right, good.
Like the old lady in the Titanic.
That's why we're a great team.
So if you get the lock wrong and it's in the ocean, do I just win the competition for the year?
Mark jumps off a boat and finds it at the bottom of the sea.
I'll discover it somewhere.
The tugboat will take us out.
Yeah.
And then Mark will put on his diving gear.
An incredible swimmer. People don't know that about Mark.
The Ravens offense, it's a thing. They average 33 points a game in the first 3 weeks. They've averaged 21.3 points per game since. It's the passing game mostly that's an issue. The running game is very good. The Lamar Jackson stats are down, obviously, along with that. But the Ravens are up against the Jacksonville defense. It's 24th in the league in passing yardage allowed. They do not get to the quarterback.
Yeah.
Not that they could even if they tried with Lamar, but that's going to potentially open up great situations for Lamar, both passing and throwing the ball. And with Mark Andrews another week back from his injury, I think this is going to be a get-right game for the offense. And that doesn't mean Trevor Lawrence isn't going to continue his ascent, but he has a tall task ahead of him as well. I like this as a 28-17 win.
Yeah, I just think it's so different for teams that don't regularly see a Lamar Jackson. They don't regularly see a Justin Fields. I mean, I'm not that concerned about a team not having seen Trevor Lawrence. You can deal with that. But, like, division AFC North opponents have spent entire off-seasons figuring out how to stop Lamar Jackson. The Jaguars, not so much. And I just always think that's an extra little advantage for these running quarterbacks.
I liked how DeMarcus Robinson really stepped up last week in what maybe the best game of his career. If he can be a steady number two to Andrews, because Duvernay is just not that guy, that would really help. They might get Gus Edwards back. Their running game definitely struggled. And John Harbaugh had some optimism about Ronnie Stanley and Kyle Hamilton, two of their key starters,
but
especially Stanley, that they might even be playing this week. So that's a good sign for the Ravens offensive line.
Greggy?
I'm going to the Seahawks and Raiders. I think I've watched Geno live in almost every game possible this year, and now the fun stuff is starting to happen. Their schedule really is favorable. If the Seahawks keep winning these games as favorites, they're going to go to the playoffs. They might even win the division or get a high seed, but I think they're still such a young team that you can't assume too many things. They're coming off of a bye here, and offensively, I want to see them show that they can dominate and win a game without a lot of help from the defense, because this Raiders defense is so consistently bad. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
Max Crosby is on this team. And as Baldy, our friend Brian Baldinger, likes to point out every week.
Colleague.
We've done a lot of hits.
I think we've hung out socially, there's sort of a work friendship.
He once gave us work advice. Remember the career advice? That was nice, you know.
It was terrible advice though. No, I don't remember what it was.
I don't get it. If you look on Football Outsiders, they have a stat called variance, which is like how consistent the team is week to week. The Raiders defense is by far the most consistent defense in the league. They are consistently terrible. Like, they never even have a week where they pop up.
Unless they're playing the Broncos.
Right. I guess they're a little bit. Even then, I think Russell Wilson had his best two games of the year against the Raiders defense. And so you look at Geno Smith and you look at the options, especially in the secondary, that he's going to have. The Raiders pass defense is so bad that you just think they should be able to put up 30. So I want to see Pete Carroll stay aggressive coming out of the bye, go pass first, and go put 30 up and hopefully not sweat this game out,
Greg,
too much.
I'm a little worried about this game for your Seahawks. I feel like the Raiders, with the pressure off their back, they know they're kind of out of it, and the owner gave them a little bit of a pass here just to play ball. They're coming off a win and some good vibes in overtime, finally winning a close game. I could see them feeling pretty good going to Seattle to face a Seahawks team that
you just sort of like to root against the Seahawks.
No, I'm just saying the Seattle showed maybe a little bit of some cracks in Munich, their struggles to get off the field on third down, which were massive in the early portion of the season. It returned. The Brady Bucks were 10 of 13 on third down conversions in non-kneel down situations. And I could just see those third downs again with Derek Carr and Davante Adams, the best wide receiver in the league, maybe. They're going to give him a lot. They're going to give him a handful. I'm not saying they're going to win.
They always learn in one-score games. They're a good offense, and I tend to agree that it'll play itself close.
I don't feel a lot of concern for the Seahawks in this. I appreciate your appreciation for the Raiders in this, Dan, but this is a terrible defense. Geno Smith has been deadly with the deep passing. If he has three more deep touchdown shots this season, he breaks the NGS record going back to 2016. Woo-hoo! That's not what we thought Geno Smith was 2 months ago. I mean, Greg, you had the Geno Smith thing going on in the offseason. I think that we have to just see this is who he is at this point. There's so many ex-teammates coming out of the woodwork saying little nuggets about who Geno was and preparing in those when he was in the shadows that this is the guy. It's not going away. And I know the Bucks shut down their run game in Germany. That, I think, was a big reason Seattle couldn't get unshelved there early on. But they played well down the stretch. Geno made some throws in that game.
I thought what Mark Sanchez said on our show last week was the most enlightening thing I've heard about Geno Smith. And it unlocked a lot for me, because the Geno Smith that was on the Jets 6 or 7 years ago is not this guy. Like, that was the whole thing. Like, he even said, Sanchez, the guy was skinny fat. Like, he was a young, undeveloped quarterback who hadn't learned how to play the position. He ended up going through the wars of the NFL. And to his credit, Geno, he learned the right lessons from the right players when he was out of the shadows. And the guy that has emerged, and
Rivers and Eli.
Right. Yeah, I think it's post-Jets,
but I'm saying, right, like, this is not who he's always been, but this has been a road that he was on, and I think he deserves credit for that, and I think Pete Carroll deserves credit for that, because I think what Carroll saw in the last year or 2 years or 3 years was that this guy had changed. None of us had seen it yet. Greg on some level did, but it was kind of a bit that turned into a real thing.
I always thought early on he showed true quarterbacking skills with some problems too, but the type of things that lead to a long career.
So that I just thought that the Sanchez comments really unlocked things for me, and I agree. I don't think there's going to be a collapse this year. I would have thought that a couple of months ago, but now it seems like what we've learned is that this is a different guy.
So different. And he's going to go out and get the win this week. I thought long and hard about locking the Ravens, but I was afraid everyone would be on that game, and I was right. So instead, I'm locking the Seahawks to get this win.
Ca-caw.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that. Is that a Seahawks sound?
You just don't seem very confident.
Yeah,
almost like a guy that
slightly shaking.
Picked a lock for a team that lost by 37 points last week.
I'm never confident in my lock ever again. After
why are
such
you not?
A collapse.
Can I just say, Justin?
Yeah,
lock you're the Titans. A Titans fan.
I know,
Justin. They have lost once in 2 months. If you just and you know they're
they
going to keep
winning.
They're
playing the Bengals this week,
Justin. If you just pick the Titans every week.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you, you're going to come out of this in good shape.
Well, I would have more correct wins than I do now with 6 because the Titans have 8.
Yeah, but Dan's trying to lure you into a tough spot this week, so I wouldn't listen.
I still like and enjoy that the lock competition is an individual competition, but there is something satisfying that Dan, myself, and Mark are ahead of all these other hangers-on, like Justin, Wes Bros, and the listeners. It started with us!
That was like a little snapshot into Greg's brain, how he views anyone else.
I like to trash talk.
Greg has also tried to bury and remove the segment from our life multiple times.
That's true.
So
I'm intentionally doing worse than you guys so that you stay at the top.
Yeah, thank
that's
you.
My,
that's good producer.
That's wise.
That's exactly. Smart. Anything else? I think we're good.
We're good. Yeah. Derek Carr, I think, is playing for his job the next 7 weeks, and I think he can play well enough to keep it.
Jets quarterback Derek Carr?
But I think he can play well enough to keep it, but I think that's a big part of their rest of the season. And, you know, he's coming off a good game. That's all.
Get out of that contract so easy if they want.
Seahawks by 3, you're saying?
Yeah. You'll be happy, but you'll sweat it out.
I tend to agree. I'm going by like 4-6.
All right, let's take a break.
Going by 18.
Every time I throw it a break, are you going to do that?
Yes.
We'll be right back. Gotcha.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in, to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah. It's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar!
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, and it's now time for the Sunday Drive presented by Toyota. Let's drive over to Santa Clara, where the San Francisco 49ers and the New Orleans Saints will do battle. Is that what you wanted, Mark?
Yeah, but yeah, I think that's just logical. That after this contest,
yes,
the slate turns grisly.
Very ugly. It gets real ugly. This game is good because, not that I buy into the Saints, but maybe there's a last gasp run in this team. Probably not, though. The more likely situation here for me is you get to watch San Francisco's offense again, which is obviously an unbelievable performance against Arizona. And I'm enjoying watching how Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo are making this whole thing work. And, you know, Greg, I heard you and Zumwalt in the Monday night recap, and you were talking about, you know, how they, how wisely they were distributing the targets and where, like, McCaffrey comes into this offense, which is interesting in that he's essentially a check down dude. But the way the offense is so, you know, the defenses have to account for this offense. Mm-hmm. He gets the ball in space in a check down situation, and he always makes the first guy miss, and he always turns 4 yards into 7. 8 into 12, and 12 into more. And so you have that working. And you have the idea that this team, when everybody's on the field and Garoppolo in a healthy place physically and mentally, which we can't forget that they were trying to get rid of him a few months ago. I think that's one of the craziest things about this season in the NFL, that they were done with Jimmy G. They had quotes on the record. We did segments about it with Kyle Shanahan on the record, and now he's thrown 4 touchdown passes on Monday Night Football and looking awesome. I think San Francisco, who are number 5 in the power rankings for me right now, they are as good as anybody in football right now.
They're going to be rising up because I think they've now with the McCaffrey trade works. You shipped him to a coach that knows how to use him. There's just too many weapons here for defenses to deal with. And we talked about the Cardinals matchup as a team in Arizona that could not deal with yards after the catch, and they just went nuts. Deebo Samuel had all 9 targets were fewer than 10 air yards, and he's just doing what he normally does. Jimmy G has won 14 games in a row when he doesn't throw an interception. So you're getting this version of Jimmy G over the last month plus, and the clean version of Jimmy Garoppolo can take them to the Super Bowl. By the way, where's the weakness? The defense is absolutely destroying teams. So the Saints, to me, you know, they go get destroyed by Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago. Andy Dalton's a turnover machine. Last week he looks great. They're just so up and down. But I don't see them coming in here and finding a way to snuff out the Niners. I don't know if anyone can at this point.
Right. I look at this matchup and it was kind of a great, relatively forgotten classic playoff game about a decade ago. That was one of my favorites.
Alex Smith.
Yeah, and Drew Brees going at it. I mean, it was maybe the best moment of Alex Smith's career. I loved that game. And I look at these two franchises, and yeah, the Saints are coming off a win. I felt like that was fool's gold. The Rams are slump busters right now. They make you feel like you actually might be back in this season, like the Cardinals. And then, no, then you got to play the 49ers and face reality. When you look at the two lines, and the 49ers are quietly healthier than they've been other times in the year. They're getting healthier. They're adding guys like McCaffrey, whereas the Saints are still really injured on both sides. When you look at that defensive line of the 49ers matching up against the Saints, it is should be a bloodbath. And then when you look on the other side and the Saints can't get any pass rush pressure. At the end of that game when they lost Peyton Turner and Davenport's hurt and Cam Jordan's hurt, they got no pressure on the Rams, but it was the Rams, so they couldn't take advantage. They actually made Stafford look better than he's looked all year. So when you're dominating up front like that, I think this is going to be a total take it to the woodshed situation. And we're not allowed to lock up games over seven. We should be allowed to lock up the point spread because that's supposed to be 50-50. But you know what the version now, Greg, of locking up the point spread is? It's when it starts raining up in the Bay Area. The Rainmaker's coming out. The 49ers are covering 9 easy. It's going to be a party in Santa Clara. Bye-bye, Saints.
Please watch us on NFL Network or any other format because the Rainmaker graphic behind Greg and I right now is marvelous, and it's on one of the days where Greg was wearing the glasses, and the glasses and always give Greg a totally different vibe.
Like, yeah, the vibe
like
is
like a bizarro
like,
Clark Kent vibe.
Oh, I don't know if I'd go Clark Kent.
That's sort generous. Of
like I did say bizarro.
Agitated accountant. Like who's come across a spreadsheet he doesn't enjoy.
Like,
I don't know what's happening.
Insurance salesman.
Kind of like overworked guidance counselor in the inner city.
From 1987.
Vibe. Yeah. Kind of that vibe.
We need a new graphic. But no, you know what? Don't. The Grain Maker's doing great this year. 3-1. So
did you say the Grain Maker? Is
come
he
along
working
with
in Heartland?
Come along with me.
Oh, boy.
Also, you know what? Last thing on the Niners offense, which is so fun to watch. I'm very happy with this pick in the draft, considering everything. Elijah Mitchell, who I really like as well, who is their maybe kind of their lead ball carrier. Like, even though McCaffrey's there, the way this offense has looked the last couple of weeks, he had one touch in the first half, and I think Shanahan was even asked about it by ESPN, and then almost like Shanahan had to check a box. He's like, I know I'm gonna score like 3 to 4 touchdowns, let me just make sure he get. So I just gave it to him for 8 for 60 every right. time he touched the ball. It was 5, 6, 7, 8 yards pop, and everything's working right now. The only thing if I'm a Niners fan is like, don't peak now.
Yeah.
Because the team right now could beat anybody in the league.
Just stay healthy because it feels like that's been an issue with the Niners year after year.
And get dominant defensively. This is a matchup where I think you should be able to get after Andy Dalton, who's throwing the ball well when he has time, but he shouldn't have time. It was nice to see Jarvis Landry out there again making plays. I mean, their offense shouldn't be that bad, but I have no faith in that Saints defense to slow them down.
Yeah, it's also possible that this team is hitting its stride at Thanksgiving and just rolls through the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a Lombardi.
They have that look.
And that was the Sunday Drive presented by Toyota. Mark Sessler, you're up next.
All right, well, if we're agreeing as a group that we've just got dogs left on the schedule here, I'm going to pick things that I like to watch, and I like to watch the offense that hails from Miami. So I'm going to take Dolphins, Texans. I don't expect this game to be extremely competitive after watching a Texans team that squeezed out 5 yards in the first half against Washington a week ago. That was a game that I covered. I found that a fascinating little moment in the day to see an offense dive bomb to such a degree that they have taken Davis Mills, shoved him into the background, and replaced him with Kyle Allen. I don't know what we're expecting to
no,
get from Kyle Allen.
That's actually the
it
same person.
It probably is, yeah. But at least you can convince the casual fan that it's a different human being.
Maybe sell a couple extra jerseys.
We saw
Everybody
Kyle
wins.
Allen
I don't know
win
who's buying
the game.
Texans jerseys, but go ahead.
We saw Kyle Allen win a game internationally, something not many NFL quarterbacks can say they did.
Yeah. Well,
he is a very different quarterback, though. He's kind of a gunslinger that's going to throw the ball deep and give the other team a lot of chances, where Davis Mills is – to a fault, incredibly safe.
I remember
and
the
Deepones
over Davis Mills on this podcast, so let's not.
He wasn't last year.
I'm just saying they're very different. My point is, even last year, Davis Mills was sort of defined by just play it very safe. Don't make a mistake. Don't make any big throws either. But just,
Kyle Allen is more the Dan Marino 1984 quarterback.
No, Kyle Allen's more the Taylor Heineke, I would say. 19. or 2020.
Yes, good job though, Mark. This is kind of similar to my San Francisco pick, where it's I kind of got a feeling which way this game is going to go, but at least you might get to see a team that's impressive on the field.
I mean, I love seeing the Tua debate sort of just diminish it to my interest level entirely at this point. He's been perfect in this offense, and we've said this week after week. There's nothing else to say. Just keep it going.
It is different, though.
That Browns game was different, didn't you feel?
I thought it was better.
Check out this.
Right. Yeah, I think he's honestly just. You also, it's a new offense for him. He's growing in it week and week. I see what you're saying, Dan, but it's also
I'm not doubting him. Let me just make that clear.
I know you're not. You're not, but it's like it's always when there is someone who is a figure of doubt.
Yeah.
It's always going to be. Okay, but now do this thing next. All he's being asked to do is go out
there. That's how it works. So, but look at where I remember, and I was banging the drum on this for a long time on the podcast earlier this season, where they were stacking yardage but scoring 16 to 20 points each week. And then that changed starting 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago. There's a bye here. At Detroit, they put up 31 and win. At Chicago, they put up 35 and win. Versus the Browns, they put up 39 and win. That much credit due.
Right.
Texans, they're going to put up 40 and they're going to win. I got San Francisco circled
sure,
next
that
week.
That makes total sense.
Let me see what Tua does against the top competition, a big-time defense, and then I will ask no more questions.
That'll be exciting, but Tua and the Dolphins and then Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs have separated themselves to me as the best two offenses in the league by far because they're doing what a lot of great offenses did back in a different era, which was 2020, the highest scoring season in NFL history, and somehow it's way different right now. And the thing that they do is they're a great offense that drops a hammer consistently on terrible defenses. And that's unique in itself. Like, that's a sign of a truly great offense. They're so unique. I went back to watch that Browns game, and I loved it because they're breaking defenses. Their receivers are just so deep when he gets to the back of his drop that they're already, like, 17 yards down the field. And do you try to play some man coverage against them? I think that's what the Patriots did in week one. They're going to try to do it when they play again because backing up in zone and just trying to deal with that opens up so much space for the running game, opens up so much space for the secondary receivers like Sherfield and Gesicki, that it's like you're already losing before the play starts, and you're hoping Tua can't make those tough throws. And that was what was different about that Browns game. Receivers weren't that wide open on the throws he made to the outside there. He was putting it into tough spots deep down the field and on the sidelines, and it's because of his timing, and the offensive line is in sync. It's really something. He reminds me a little bit, if he reaches his ceiling, obviously, or beyond his ceiling, that I expect, is of Kurt Warner. Just like the timing and the touch is there that, yeah, the arm's not there, but it doesn't matter because the ball's out at the perfect time and it gets there, even in tight coverage. He did that against the Browns.
And in years past, he was not protected well. He was put under duress. That's a better situation for him. I just think it is an incredible testament to the Dolphins that, not unlike when Kyle Shanahan went to San Francisco, they were so feverish in the offseason, in free agency, to build the Shanahan offense, get the right parts. It wasn't the perfect parts, but the way to make it work as fast as possible. We're in year three of this program, or we're still looking for the right guy. The Dolphins went out and did it so quickly under Mike McDaniel. They're a completely different operation than a year ago. They have the number one pass DVOA above the Chiefs in the league right now. They're a dominant offense.
Steve Young is the guy, I think, is the lefty side. I think Young was more athletic, but his ability to the accuracy and the way he gets the ball right where it needs to be, that's Tua when he's locked in. Hmm. And I know Dolphins fans aren't going to get it in my mentions. Oh, what about the week two win against the Ravens? True. That was an awesome fourth quarter. But I'm really looking forward to, now that the season has really kind of found its footing and these teams are where they are, put it this way, I'm very happy I have the first overall pick next week.
But they also beat the Bills, by the way.
To Dan's point, though, it's different as the season builds.
Right.
And so we'll see them against the 49ers. That's awesome. We'll see them against the Bills. That's awesome. I'm curious to see them against the Patriots and Jets, certainly a second time around.
A lot
around.
Of big tests here.
Well, let's see if Bill Belichick can ever beat Tua, because he's not done it yet.
Right, but what he has done, it was only week one, but they scored 10 points on offense. So that was like actually their worst two a game
yeah
of
but
this
that's
season.
Like, can I let's also week one in the new scheme,
right?
Like,
yeah,
like, I think we're in this is not that different
points.
Than Matthew Stafford
points.
With the Rams when they broke out of their slump a year ago. It's like new quarterback, new scheme. It doesn't happen in one
that's
week. It didn't happen with Kyle Shanahan and the Falcons. It happened
in year
two. We're just
saying we want to see great on great, and that's what's
that's
fun
cool.
about the
I'm
season
hellacious schedule at San Francisco, at Chargers, at Bills,
Tough.
Home Packers.
Easy.
At Patriots, home Jets. Those are a lot of good defenses.
AFC East. Yep.
Now we see them play
all against each other, and it's amazing how there's no losing records in either Eastern Division.
I got a lot of respect for what Tua and the Dolphins has done. By the end of the regular season, we're going to know if they're an actual contender. We'll know. Or if they even go to the playoffs. We'll see.
Ooh. Whoa, that would be a collapse.
I think they're a contender. That could have been offense.
All right, who's up? Who's up? Who's up? Mark.
I'm in the snake world. I'm taking my late game. I'm going to go Rams at Kansas City. Again, I get to at least watch the Chiefs offense, which I think sometimes I know in our text threads away from work, like on Monday night when they're just destroying people or on Sunday night, I am just feeling I watch the same thing over and over, but it's a testament to like how consistent they are. Kelce is playing out of his mind. Patrick Mahomes, like, adding elements to the game on the ground with his ability to run. They're just so incredible. Like, the throw to Jody Fortson a week ago was one of the better throws I've seen all season. I mean, Mahomes just does something week after week where it's like, this is new. He keeps recreating what we think about him, and they're totally unstoppable. And I don't even really want to talk about the Rams right now. Bryce Perkins is taking first-team reps, but it's just getting darker and darker. They cut Daryl Henderson. They're just parting ways with players. It's fair to wonder if we'll see Matthew Stafford again all year. I don't think we'll see Cooper Kupp. That's out the mix.
Our friend Jordan Rodrigue and everyone else covering that Rams beat, I am very ready for expose to drop about what is going on.
Well, I'm sure they're cooking those up right now.
Maybe we'll give our old producer a call. Maybe she'll get us some dirt. Let's start digging here. What's going on with the Rams?
Well, what's most concerning to me,
Erica would never,
and has been under the radar the last 2 weeks, is the defense has just laid down. You know, it's like I did not expect them to lay down against the Saints. When you see Juwan Johnson and Olave cooking Ramsey, when you see the Cardinals, who they could have, like, if the defense could have stepped up and played competitive in that game against Colt McCoy, like, they would have had a chance to win that game even. And the defense has given up long drive, can't get off the field. And you can't blame injuries on the defense. The defense has been healthy, and they just haven't been there. Donald is still grading out as one of the best players in the league. And I think if you watched it, he's not at the level that he's been, but he's still at, like, an all-pro or Pro Bowl level. So I'm not going to put anything on him. You're putting it on the roster construction and I guess some of the coaching that just – the stars and scrubs thing isn't working. In this last few weeks, it just feels like the defense isn't playing with the same level of intensity.
Well, let's pop the hood on that because I agree with you. Let's remember what happened on November 6th at Tampa when the Rams defense got a huge stop at the end of that game and looked like they'd sealed a win that really could have reset their season. The offense goes 3-and-out. They then let him right down the field. They lose the game. After the game, Jalen Ramsey, who is a star but also an emotional player, comes out in the media and basically trashes the offense and says, you're asking us to keep on making stops and we're not getting any help. And then you connect the dots for the next 2 weeks where the defense seems lethargic and no longer passionate about what they're doing. There's a lot of bad stuff going on with the Rams right now.
It feels like there's four or five
teams where the defense and offense probably despise each other behind the scenes.
Despise is strong.
What? It's probably not personal. You had an insurrection in Florham Park.
But they're frustrated.
The Rams situation is about as dark as it gets.
They're doing a good job, though, kind of keeping things out of the public eye. It's just like random
Except
things.
Except for
like,
in the running back room.
Well, I'm saying Darrell Henderson, like, it just like has a tweet after he was released with like a prayer hands, I believe, and a big smile or something. Like, I want to hear some dirt about what's going on with the defending champions, one of the more disappointing seasons in that front. Let's move on.
Shall we?
Oh, no. I'm up again?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Drew, get in my ear. Let me know that I have to pick a terrible game. All right, let me pick a bad game. Ooh, everybody pinch yourselves listening right now because Zeuser's doing it in real time. Do I want Denver at Carolina? No.
Oof.
Do I want Tampa at Browns? Not really, but
That's...
You know what? I'll grab it. Bucks at Browns in Cleveland. Cleveland's not a bad team. They're not bad. They really aren't. They have a bad record. it's not quite the Green Bay situation either, because their record is what they are. But I think they could definitely put up a fight here against Tampa. It depends what version of the Bucs offense shows up here. I don't think Nick Chubb gets shut down 2 weeks in a row, so I expect him to move the ball. Is this the last start for Jake Brissett?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is a very notable game, a pivot point in Browns history, and Jake Brissett knows, barring injury, he's done after this game. Am I about to go off on – this is something like our friend Claybon would roll his eyes. Do I think that Jake Brissett could find more motivation playing one more game against Todd Bowles and the Mighty Bucks and have a big day? Probably not. But you know what's on his mind. He wants to go out strong here. I think the Bucks are going to have their hands full in this game. So I kind of, the more I think about this game, the more it makes sense to me. And a lot comes down to it, Mark, though, is Tampa Bay's offense. I mentioned how they did a better job on third down. Still, they didn't score for much of the second half in Munich in that win over the Seahawks. So I still have questions, but we're seeing some growth on that side of the ball.
They were balanced. I thought that was a really encouraging. I'm not asking the Bucks to be perfect on offense. They're always working their way out of things, but guys like Chris Godwin starting to play better. They could run the ball really well. Rashad White, I think, is a thing. I think at least for the rest of the season, he's sort of their dude on the ground. And you are playing, the one thing that doesn't seem to change, no matter who's going to be playing quarterback for the Browns, and we've talked about it week after week, their defense, because we can say they have stars on their defense. Denzel Ward right now is ranked as the 114th cornerback by Pro Football Focus. Greg Newsome, who was awesome a season ago, is the 62nd. Grant Delpit and John Johnson, their safeties. John Johnson, who was great with the Rams, are both in the 60s.
You know who's looking pretty good is Emerson. Well. Is he ranked okay? He pops up.
Yes, but like you'd like him to be a complimentary piece around all these other parts. It's Myles Garrett and nobody else. Their run defense is terrible. So I think the Bucs can be balanced again. And then Tom Brady, who has only lost to the Browns once in his entire life, and we know that game, that was the Peyton Hillis, Colt McCoy game.
Paint the picture.
That at this point is
what
over.
Week, what week? What year?
What year? Where were you?
Week 9, 2010. I was watching
Jocks or dailies?
No, I was watching at a Browns backers tavern up in Santa Monica, which I think no longer exists.
This is a history of Dan and Mark at NFL.com. We got hired the same summer. Mark, were you about 3 weeks before me? A month, something like that?
Yeah, I think I taught you how the computer system worked when you showed up.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it sort of set you up to fly.
And you should have seen the way our great boss, Justin Hathaway, who's a good man, the way Mark set things up those first 2 years, he got Sundays off working for the NFL. And there's old Zeuser grinding away in that newsroom. And Mark is at every Browns bar you could find in Southern California.
But you know what? It paid off because we've heard about this Browns-Patriots game roughly 38 times in the history of the show.
That seems low.
It was one season, by the way.
Willie McGinnis highlight of his Browns career.
It was one season.
Yes.
And the reason was I was the person that came in at 4:45 in the morning on weekdays.
But I bet he made that trade. I bet he knew what he was doing.
I happened to do that.
But you don't sleep, so it's kind of a home run for you.
I was happy to do it, but I don't. I think on the flip side, I'm not sure that you would have loved the 4:45 in the morning thing.
I did those too, buddy.
All right, well, you did everything. Dan Hansis did everything, and he's just a wonderful part of the company.
You don't think I was doing the 5 to 2, 6 to 3s?
I even did when I came out here.
I think you do, but you're largely a later shift guy because I would see you for only about 2 hours.
I did them, buddy.
I did late nights too. Well, I did the same shifts as you. What are we getting at here? Like,
I work Sundays and you didn't.
For a season.
Basically, you owned. You need to make it up in some way.
Like, highly petty.
That's the way it is sometimes.
That is the way it is. Hell, jeez.
Slice me off a piece of that Jake Brissett.
Okay, trying to get us back to the game. We should talk Jake Brissett. He has played really well this season. I love what he said to the media on Wednesday, that he knew the deal when he got there and that this was the deal. And he felt like I could be the perfect person to handle that. And he said, and I think I have been. Wait, I so agree. This was
Bravo.
A difficult situation. He's been a massive upgrade from Baker Mayfield. I think if I was doing the QB index this year, Mark, I'd have to write it out. He would be squarely in the middle, which is a huge win.
Yeah.
If you're the Browns and Jacoby Brissett, this is the best he's looked since that Colts season, maybe even better. And I think he would have been getting talked up a lot this year as one of the better stories in the league if their defense wasn't a tire fire, because he's played well enough for them to have like a 7-4 type of record, but their defense
even
just
in that Dolphins game, he could have had an extra 2 touchdowns. I think I'm with you, Greg. Like, he's been the perfect quarterback locker room wise during a really tough season. He's totally exceeded what I thought he'd be
if
on the field.
If the Jets had him, they would be like, sure, they'd be great.
Yeah,
sure.
That's all I mean.
They would. The Browns are this close to being 6-4. But they're not.
Well, they're also this far because I think we're beyond the point of look at their solid roster. I think they have issues going into this offseason.
And we know they'll change defensive coaches, which is why this matchup is interesting, because that Bucs offensive line handed it to Seattle. And then there was some talk after the game that it's like, well, they didn't have the right cleats and the field was so slippery. Was that part of it? Because mashed them, and it reminded you of the 2020 Bucs, who played so well up front. And if you can run on these Browns, which every other team can, and you can protect Brady, and Godwin looks good again after a week off, he looked a little more explosive, then we start feeling pretty good about this Bucs team.
Definitely. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in, to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah. It's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar!
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go. We got 3 more games. Greg, you're up.
I'm going to take the Chargers and the Cardinals in the late window. I have a belief that these last 2 Chargers games are a sign of something more for this team.
All
that
right.
They're actually getting better. Because this has been my least favorite Chargers season in I don't know how long. Because Phillip Rivers isn't there. They're not better than their record indicates. It's been in the reverse. And Justin Herbert wasn't really Justin Herbert until after the bye. And especially these last 2 weeks. The first half against San Francisco. And then I think really throughout that Kansas City game, we're starting to see the big time throws out of Herbert. We're seeing Keenan Allen back, unlocking them. I actually think Brandon Staley's come up with some defensive answers. I know they're banged up and they're not a great defense, but some of the things he's done over the last couple of weeks have given me some hopes against 2 of the better teams in the league, I think, San Francisco and the Chiefs. And I want to start them taking it forward. Maybe they get Mike Williams back, it sounds like, for this game. Maybe not. We'll find out. And go put on a performance that gets us feeling like, okay, they're back in this season, and they're going to win a lot of games and get back to the playoffs.
This might be the defense to do it against. That is for sure. I mean, it has been a rough road for the Chargers. Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, and Justin Herbert have been on the field together for 46 of 673 snaps. He just hasn't had his guys. And I do think, because Brandon Staley like kind of nobly said, hey, listen, Justin Herbert is going to be more aggressive now. He's finally healthy. That was a couple weeks ago, and it's translated on the field. I mean, he threw the ball.
Six plays over 15 yards
last
week.
Right, it's what we've been waiting for. So I guess, you know, if the season doesn't start till this week, next week, then that's good. We'll see.
Well, it's bad news for the Hard Knocks producers who are going to have to squeeze another five or six shows out of this Cardinals
team. There's a lot going on with that team.
This week is fascinating to me watching that one. But after that, this just feels like a dead team walking, Dan. And that's why it's a road game for the Chargers. And they haven't looked great this year, but this is a dead team walking in the desert. And I'm locking up the Chargers.
I'm with you. The Cardinals are terrible. They're embarrassing. And it got worse over the weekend when we learned that Arizona Cardinals offensive line coach and running game coordinator Sean Kugler was fired for some inappropriate behavior and sent home. So, and that's not the, you know, this is not the first time this stuff has happened behind the scenes with the Cardinals. It's everywhere. I mean, it's from the general manager to coaches, and then you see the play on the field and the quitting in the Monday night game. It's just like, the vibes are, there's no team that has worse vibes, in my opinion, than the Arizona Cardinals. And at one point, does ownership hit the reset button on this thing?
And don't worry about the Cardinals being at home. They're the worst home team in the league. Worst point differential, they're 1-5.
I am not that worried. I watched that Hard Knocks first episode, and it was really set up. Cliff Kingsbury is not a guy who you just feel like has the room in the palm of his hands, just belief-wise. And he doesn't really have the schematics either. But his motivational thing during that week was, we've got three games here. If we win these three games in the division, and we're going to see who we really are in the division, and if we win these games, we will be tied for first place at the end of those three games. So now we are at the end of those three games. And in two of those games, they weren't particularly competitive. They found out who they were. They were significantly worse than the Seahawks. They were not even in the same ballpark of the 49ers. They're an organization that's had all sorts of off-field problems, and this Kugler thing is the latest, that they just feel like a organization, a coaching staff, run amok. And I think they could hit the reset
what
button, to your point.
We don't need to see.
We don't need to talk about it because we'll have 6 weeks to talk about it. But I think if this keeps going in the direction that I expect it to go, I think they will hit the reset button, and there will just be a hard regret as he's paying Steve Keim and Cliff Kingsbury their mortgages for their next three houses for the next 6 years.
Right. And you know what? Kyler Murray, too. That was a big investment they made. I don't know if that's going to pay off, but the team is bad. The effort is bad. The behavior is bad. What else does ownership need to see to really hit a hard reset on this team? Let's move to the next game. Greggy, there's two left. What do you got?
I'm going to take Broncos-Panthers. It's Broncos-Panthers.
Ouch.
It's Chris Myers. It's a lot.
It's Sam Darnold and Chris Myers.
There's actually a much...
And Russell Wilson.
Okay, so there's a much better game remaining, and this is probably a part of the show they'll just take out of the network. I would recommend it, but I'd rather...
This must be great.
Right. I'd rather save Commandos, Falcons for Game Pass, and I've happened to watch those teams live a lot this year. I do not want to watch Broncos-Panthers on Game Pass. I just can't do it. So I want to put this as my second screen in the morning and just get through it and move on with my life.
You're tied to these teams for 3.5 hours as opposed to a nice, tidy 40 or so.
That's what I don't get, because it colors your Sunday. For me, it does. Yeah.
I get it, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to be extra focused on my number one game. I'm going to have that in. I'm not going to listen to the commentary. I'm going to keep an eye on what Russell Wilson is doing against a very good Panthers defense in the right week, and I feel like this will be the right week because they're playing Denver. So they can stop the run, and their secondary is much better with Jeremy Chinn back in the mix. J.C. Horn is a really good cornerback who can line up against Cortland Sutton. We don't expect Jerry Jeudy to be back out there. So I just don't think there's going to be a lot of points in this game. It's Sam Darnold going against a very good defense. I'm going to pick final score 9-6. Broncos
like
win. 9-6.
Well, to your point, Greg, the Broncos, who seem to like have one good drive a game.
That's all they'll need.
Nick Wright tweeted out that had they scored 18 points a game in regulation this season, just every game, 18
every
points.
Game, 18, not great.
They'd be 9-1.
What? That's so stupid.
What's their offense is what's stupid. Like that's.
I just mean that's a ridiculous stat that is depressing if you're a Broncos fan.
Yes,
18
it is.
Points is a deeply disappointing total.
No Friday fun show this week, so we don't have any fearless predictions. So I'll throw my one out right now, which is Sam Darnold accounts for 2 touchdowns.
For okay, the Broncos yeah. or for the Panthers?
As I'm saying it here, doesn't this set up for a Darnold win? I picked the Broncos online. Should I change that?
And the Panthers, if they get 2 touchdowns, they're beating the Russell Wilson team, who can't score 2 touchdowns a game. It's bad.
You know what's weird is
does that count a pick 6 if he threw a pick 6?
No, he's accounting for 2 touchdowns for the winning team.
I thought it's fair. It's a fair person to clarify that point around.
I actually think he's in a better spot now because they spent their whole offseason. Remember, the whole thing was like, they got to finally fix their offensive line. Why didn't they fix their offensive line the year before? The offensive line gave them no chance. And you know what? They kind of did fix their offensive line. It's looked pretty good this year. They pass protect well. They added a lot of talent there. And just the rest of the team is absolutely terrible. And that's why Matt Rhule is making the
media rounds.
Good morning football.
But your take that Baker Mayfield would come to Carolina and prove that he's no better than Sam Darnold, I got to say, it's aged well, and Sam Darnold now has a chance to take it to the next level and look better than Baker,
that's
potentially.
That's fine, but the best way to elevate your elevate your like status is to simply not play. Because now we want Sam Darnold, but had we got 8 weeks of Sam Darnold.
This isn't about Sam Darnold. Yeah, it's about put Baker in the same setting as Sam Darnold and what happens. They're the same guy.
I'm not disagreeing that Baker Mayfield is never going to start again.
I do think it's important for Darnold to put together some decent tape here to get a backup job next year and not be a guy that's picked up because of somebody suffers a concussion in week 6. Yeah. They're important games for him. All right, let's finish the – it is actually pretty – considering the week, the fact that Falcons and Commanders are the last game here that I'll grab is that works out because the Falcons, not my favorite team to watch, and now they lose Kyle Pitts, and they've kind of lost Kyle Pitts already in terms of how to use him in the game plan. But if you talk to Arthur – or you listen to Arthur Smith and people that follow the game, they said that Kyle Pitts, despite his numbers being so bad this year compared to last year when you thought this year would be a big leap – they really were using him, and he was, in an all-around way, has been important to their offense. He's gone now with the MCL tear that's leading to surgery, it sounds like. So they find a way now against the Commanders, or they need to find a way against Commanders that have won 5 of 6 and coming off, took care of business game against the Texans. Of course, the emotional Monday night game win against the Eagles to knock them off. Taylor Heinicke. I like it. I like him to keep the good times rolling here at home. What do you guys think?
I agree. I mean, they asked Ron Rivera why he was sticking with Taylor Heinicke, and all he said was winning. All right, well, I don't really care why. I just would rather see him than Carson Wentz. But for me, a lot of it's the defense. They have been really creatively run on offense. I think Scott Turner's doing a good job with their ground. But, I mean, guys like Jonathan Allen was – Montez Sweat, they were incredible a week ago. I know they're playing Houston, but they dissolved Houston. And they've got the number 2 run defense, DVOA-wise, in the league. And you're playing the Falcons. So I kind of like this game for them to keep going. Because if you put the ball in Marcus Mariota's hands to solve it for Atlanta late in the game, don't trust them.
You mentioned it was a take-care business
winning
game. But the fact that they did it so convincingly showed me a little something about the Commanders that, like, okay. I would not take 4 points in this game. They're 4-point favorites. That feels too much. These two teams, it's going to come down to something crazy happening in the final 3 minutes. Each of these teams, whenever they play anyone reasonable, that's how the game goes. And I agree with you that they can stop the Falcons' run. They've been, like, Jonathan Allen's been great, and De'Ron Payne's been great, but Montez Sweat is second in pressures. Like, they are pretty deep. Their safety combination are both ranked in the top 5 of PFF right now, for what that's worth. Derek Forrest and Cam Curl. Forrest has been a nice little find for them, a surprising pick. So they have talent around Heinicke. I still expect Heinicke to start blowing it at some point, and this could be one of those games, and that's why I think it'll be close and just come down to something crazy, because these two teams are kind of proof of how I get annoyed when people say it's the hardest thing to do in sports, win an NFL game. It's like, no, these teams have won 11 combined.
That's a thing? It's just, winning an NFL game is the hardest thing in sports?
Coaches like to say that. It's like one of the hardest things to do in sports, win an NFL game. No, it's exactly this.
Hitting a golf ball straight.
Right. It's as easy as every other sport. One team wins every single game, and these two teams are proof of that. You don't have to be that great to be around 500.
Two things. Young and Sweaty's back.
Yep.
Chase Young activated. Hopefully he plays. Then they'll truly be back. But Montez Sweat and Chase Young in that defensive line, they can get after it. And, you know, we've talked about, to put a bow on the Kyle Pitts experience here, how Marcus Mariota and Pitts just could not connect ever. And this stat really jumps out to me. Last year with Pitts, when he was a rookie and he went over 1,000 yards with Matt Ryan as his quarterback, he had a 54.5% deep catch percentage, according to NFL Media Research. This year with Marcus Mariota, 7.1%, which is the worst of any player in the NFL, minimum 10 targets of 20-plus air yards. That element of, there's so many things wrong with Mariota, the quarterback. I've come to learn during the season and many others. Maybe it's more of the same from going back to his Tennessee days. But his inability to create big plays with special players on the field like Drake London and Kyle Pitts, you got to move on.
They are awkward dance partners. And I think only because they're in this wretched division are we not getting Desmond Ridder at this point. Because they're still in this playoff race to some degree, and Arthur Smith won't budge.
I mean, they're in it. It's
I know they're in it, but they're like if they were buried in the AFC or somewhere else, I think we're moving on from Marcus Mariota at some point.
Right, they're two losses behind in the wild card race, but they're only half a game behind those Bucks.
All right, Thanksgiving is on Thursday here in the States. Mark, what are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for you and Greg.
Really?
Yeah. Nice. So most of the time.
Ah.
But that's nice. That's not bad. A high percentage of the time.
Right. You could have left that out entirely.
Oh, well.
But the honesty is welcome.
I think honesty is why we thrive on this show. We will say what we mostly feel.
I'm thankful for our audience, a wonderful, loyal, growing audience who love ball and love the chicanery that comes along with this program. Thank you to everybody that watches and listens and supports us.
I'm thankful for my family here that we get to spend Thanksgiving. And I'm also thankful we got some late breaking news. And not get everything accurate on the show? Let's get
it. Sam Darnold will be running a spread offense.
No, this is significant. This is significant enough.
Okay.
This might get taken out of the TV show.
Stop
once again.
Saying what's going to be taken out of the TV
show.
It's
part of the running bit. It's fun.
Got it.
Kyler Murray is expected to start on Sunday against the Los Angeles Chargers.
Does that change anything for you and your
lock? He says he expects to start, and the coaching staff pretty much it does. I think I'm changing up the lock. Let's join Gravedigger over on the Seahawks.
Okay.
Although they'll probably beat the Kyler Cardinals too.
Live show at the Bourbon Room in Hollywood for Around the NFL on January 18th, Wednesday. Get your tickets now. Check out our socials to get the link. And one last note to the loyal listeners.
So many
of them
countless.
Over in England.
Yeah.
USA, baby. We're taking you down in the World Cup on Friday. I lock it up. I'm locking up an upset for the USA over England. Deal with it. Deal with the misplaced confidence of an ugly American. Until then, Dan Hans is signing off for the Quiet Storm. The old boss. Justin with the end of show drop. We got to work on that.
It's unpredictable.
Because now we're going to fill.
It's like we had both said our thing.
Dan, you're unpredictable.
Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.